And welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Brian Keller.
I'm Dan Fernandez.
And this is your post-Build 2014 recap show. Quite the amount of information coming out last week. This is our chance to go through it a little bit more slowly and kind of recap everything that people may have missed.
Just in case you missed it, here's some of the highlights. And there's so much stuff going on the show. It's really hard to capture everything, but we try and at least get some highlights on some of the big things that I think developers are really going to care about.
That's right. Let's start with the day one keynote. So day one keynote was a lot about Windows Phone features. And
sure.
Let's actually drill right into the developer features, because the number one thing that I think a lot of people anticipated this, certainly Microsoft kind of hinted that they were going in this direction, was this idea of the universal Windows apps.
Yeah, so what you see here is basically the way when you create a project, you have an option in a store app, you say universal app, and the idea here is it creates three things from your solution, right? An app that is specific to Windows 8.1, and we should say 8.1, Windows Phone 8.1, and then shared code, which is that shared modules that can go across both projects as well.
Right, so it's a single solution,
mm-hmm.
and you can, of course, have a portable class library that runs as is across all of those device types.
Right.
And then you have what's specific in each one of these individual phone versus Windows 8 0.1 project types.
Yeah, so I mean, the things that you're going to want to do is specifically optimize, say, for example, like UI pages mm-hmm. and things specific to that project, where you're going to potentially want to do layout differently or have a different UX experience based on, hey, I have, you know, up to 125% DPI and 2000 plus HD monitor, right? How do I scale my UI versus something where I'm on a phone and I have a completely different UI?
Right, and so to get this, you need Visual Studio 2013 update to RC2,
yes,
which was released at Build last week. And so you can install that, and you'll find this new project type. The other thing that was really cool about this, which Miguel de Casa actually tweeted after this news went out, was that he announced that Xamarin will provide support for universal Windows apps as well. So obviously the details are not out yet exactly in terms of how that's going to come out from our friends at Xamarin, but very, very exciting in that you could conceivably write a single set of code that could run across not only Windows projects, but also iOS and Android as well.
Yeah, and I think the key here is, again, try and use as much shared code as you can, and then only build stuff that is unique to each platform.
That's right. The other thing that that we announced that was pretty exciting was a ton of Windows Phone capabilities. One of the coolest things was this thing Cortana, right?
Mm-hmm.
So people are familiar with Siri. They tried to show how this is a little bit of a different experience around Siri. One of the ways that I liked in which Joe Belfiore characterized this was he said that their team went out and they interviewed a lot of personal assistants. And they said, what makes you a great personal assistant? And they said, well, we like to keep a lot of notebooks on the people that we are assisting, right? And so we know their favorite restaurant. We know that they need to remind their sister that, you know, they had their birthday coming up next week. All those
right.
sorts of things, right? So the idea is that this is kind of combining everything that Cortana knows about you, everything that it knows about the internet, adaptive learning as more and more people use Cortana to really create some pretty interesting scenarios so that when your sister calls you, it maybe tells you, hey, you need to remind her that she needs to bring back your Xbox, whatever.
Yeah, so there's a number of cool demos that you should definitely check out. But the real key here is this is actually going to be a platform
right.
for other people to be able to develop on. And this isn't available now. I think just a quote here, it said, US first as a beta, and then we'll launch in the US, UK, and China in the second half of 2014, just for people to keep their eye on Cortana. And there's a special session dedicated to how you can plug into Cortana and potentially do things contextually. And you can even type as well if you need to.
Oh, sure, of course. Yeah, and so those are just a few of the features that were announced for Windows Phone 8.1, and I would really encourage anyone who's interested in Windows Phone to go back and read Joe Belfiore's post, because there's just a mountain of new things that have come. A lot of fit and finish things, Cortana probably being the biggest one.
Yeah.
Which brings us to
the day two keynote.
So the day two keynote was all about developers. So whereas the day one keynote talked a lot about some consumer things, the day two keynote certainly went very deep from the beginning. Scott Gu up on stage talking about a lot of announcements across the Azure platform. So we heard about
44 new features.
44 new announcements throughout the course of the keynote. So it was very jam packed. Let's actually just dive into one of my favorites, which was the new Azure portal. Did you see this?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so this is the new portal experience, which a lot of people may be like, well, who moved my cheese, right? Like, we've built a new portal for Azure a few times now. Why are you building another portal? Common question, right? But really, the genesis behind this was that today, when you go to Windows Azure, you manage resources individually, right? You need to grab a website, a database, maybe a storage account, and it's kind of up to you, an exercise for the development team to figure out how all those pieces get pieced together to create an application and then manage those lifetimes over the course of plan, develop, and test. You're probably also using a solution like Visual Studio Online for actually tracking all of your work and your bugs and your deployments and building your code. And then you may be using yet another solution for monitoring those applications. Are they healthy? Are they up? How are customers using them?
Right.
The idea with the new Azure portal is that it brings together all of those capabilities. So starting with your application in mind, it actually introduces this new idea of an Azure Resource Manager, which allows you to say atomically, let's actually spin up a website and a DB, and then let's go spin up a team project that's backed by Visual Studio Online. Let's actually piece those together so that code that gets checked in here automatically gets built and deployed out to my application there. And then it pulls together application insights. And so what you're seeing here on this really nice view is I can see a single dashboard that's easy to build and customize that shows me for my application exactly when I'm getting traffic, what kind of browsers, how do the various aspects of my application resources relate together to make up the comprehensive application. The other cool thing is you can pull in, like, if you know your application depends on storage accounts within Windows Azure, you can pull in a health indicator for storage accounts so that right away, if you're starting to see problems with your application, maybe it's a problem with Azure that they're experiencing, from time to time. And so it's just the tip of the iceberg. This works with Azure websites today, as well as SQL Azure, MySQL, and team projects. And over time, you're going to see a lot more of the Azure resources coming online. So this is a new portal. It's in preview. You can check it out. If you're more comfortable using the Azure, the current portal for today, you can continue to use that.
Yeah, absolutely. And lots of cool stuff going on. And a couple sessions dedicated to this as well. So the Nathan Totten Gotham session on Azure Resource Group is definitely one to check out for people who want more information. And then the App Insights session for people who want to understand what App Insights is and what it brings to you and why you're going to want it as a developer.
That's right. We had 4 sessions on Application Insights, 2 more sessions on just the portal, and then the one you're talking about that Gautam and Nate did really talks more about the declarative model that exists behind the scenes for actually spinning these resources up. And the really great thing about the declarative model is that it would be really easy for you to say, this is my production environment, let's now go replicate that as a dev test environment, or give everyone on my team a copy of a dev test environment that they can use so that you really understand exactly what you're going to be facing when you push your code out to production.
Right. So huge news, we had to talk about it. One is obviously Anders did a live Q&A, but the real big news was we have now decided to open source the C# compilers, and we're calling that project codename Roslyn.
Right.
So it's now available on CodePlex, and probably one of the coolest parts of Build is actually seeing Anders on the CodePlex page where he actually clicked publish.
Yeah, that was one of these gimmicks, I guess you would say, but it was actually real.
And you got to work with Anders directly.
I did. Anders he's everything you would hope that Anders is. I mean, he's just a really nice guy, super sharp, very excited about the mission of bringing great development platforms to developers. And I think it was really exciting because a month ago, I was actually talking to a customer, and they're like, hey, this .NET thing, I'm not really seeing a whole lot of movement. But I was like, just stay tuned, because I knew what was coming. And this really was, I think, the .NET build. Because not only did you, I think it's the next slide, actually. Let's maybe go forward a couple and talk about Habib's session here.
Sure.
This is, the open source of sourcing of Roslyn was just one of many .NET announcements that we had at the event. .NET Native. The ability for you to go from a managed application and actually compile that down in native source code or native binary code so that you're not dealing with the overhead of.
And this is something customers have been asking for a long, long time.
Yeah, and it's really exciting to see just the performance benefits that you get from that. That is in preview today. You can download that. Of course, we talked about the Windows convergence with the Universal Windows apps.
Right. Ryu JIT, which is just improving the performance of our just-in-time compiler that was announced as a preview and has been available for probably a couple of weeks, and really good reception there.
Yep.
Emu Landworth actually just had a post on how all the different announcements in .NET are really based on people giving feedback in user voice.
Right.
So, and the other one I think was SIMD, which is the simultaneous instruction, so the ability to do parallel processing, which is great if you're doing something with like heavy computation math, like system.math.numerics, mm-hmm. say in like a stock trading application where you want like fast parallel processing and stuff. How can you use those instruction sets for your application? That's, I think, in a preview mode right now as well.
Right.
So lots of cool stuff, and this is definitely one of the sessions to see.
Absolutely, and of course, after Anders open sources everything, he then invites his good friend Miguel de Caza from Xamarin to come up.
Yes.
And, you know, it's crazy because they actually, Xamarin has now announced that they're going to make Roslyn the IDE engine moving forward for both Xamarin and Mono. So what that means is they don't have to waste any time building their own kind of behind-the-scenes compiler and engine. They can actually contribute as part of the new .NET Foundation we're going to talk about, and everybody can be in it to make this better. Visual Studio gains, Xamarin developers gain. You can take the same applications and you know, take the same code and start using that to target across non-Windows platforms like you have been, but now in even bigger, stronger, better way moving forward. So it's really exciting. Let's also talk about this panel that you led.
Yeah, so this was a live Q&A with a number of folks from the community. Lauren, Jay Schmelzer, obviously mm-hmm. representing Microsoft, our friend Miguel de Caza, and many others.
Yep.
But the idea here is this is the .NET Foundation. So how do we help build a great and strong ecosystem for .NET developers?
Right.
Right. So whether it's more commercial companies like Umbraco, which has parts open source, and then other parts of where it's, you know, effectively trying to make a business, or other folks, Lauren, for example, his MVVM Light library is just basically an open source project. So what are the things that we can do to help do that? And of course, Microsoft itself. Right, so how are we starting? And Jay has a great talk as well that I suggest people look, which is the present future of .NET mm-hmm. In a world of devices and services, where he goes through and having the conversation with teams, like, how do we start off? Should this be open source? And having that be kind of step one in terms of new projects coming along.
Yeah, definitely. So really exciting. I think a lot of these projects, if not all of them, are actually open to contributions as well. So if you have an idea and you want to go submit a pull request, you can do that. So just really exciting to see the momentum here. Of course, as part of that, you know, I think there was it the top attended or the top rated talk, maybe both. This was the Future of C# talk by Dustin Campbell and Matt Ferguson.
Yes.
Awesome talk. If you're a C# developer or if you're thinking about becoming one, you should go check that out. This almost could have been the future of C# and Visual Basic as well, because we shouldn't leave off the fact that Visual Basic is part of Roslyn, and you can
absolutely
go download the source code for that as well.
Yeah, so, and I think the key here is, one, you get to see new features that are coming into C#. Mm-hmm. So things like if you have automatic properties, how you can do things like initializers for them, and so on. So people that want sort of the small features. And then Dustin actually talks about what does it mean from an IDE perspective, how we can use this to do things like have your own style guide within your organization for, hey, as a company, we are going to, you know, format our variables like this, for
yep.
example.
Yep, exactly. So this other guy, who's this, Dan Fernandez?
Yes,
yep.
And Paul Yuknowicz.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
We did our What's New for Azure Developers, Visual Studio 2013 Update 2 RC and .NET Azure SDK 2.3.
You forgot the trademark sign on there, but I'll let it slide.
Yes, actually, yeah, we did. That's going to change everything. So, and it should be .NET Microsoft Azure? I don't know. So, I just want to give our session a plug. There's a lot of stuff that we talked about. So tons of improvements have happened. So whether it's for websites, VMs, or cloud services. So we showed some native debugging where you can have a picture and use OpenCV, the computer vision library, upload an image, use some background worker roles, process it in C++, and get an image back. Well, how do you debug that? You can actually set a breakpoint, go directly from managed code into native code, back to managed code.
From your development box, you're setting a breakpoint on the service running
in the cloud.
In the cloud,
anywhere.
Awesome.
It could be in East Asia, and I'm on a breakpoint writing code, and it comes back. It's inception, baby.
But
it's
not West Asia.
Okay. Good. Sure.
I don't know.
You've just pissed off 30% of our audience. Great.
All right. So what's new for ASP.NET and web? I didn't get a chance to watch this session, but this is the two Scots.
Yes. Yes, the lesser Scots, as he likes to say.
Yes.
I always love Hanselman videos, so these are kind of like a must-see for edutainment purposes, and they always got some fun fun stuff to show.
Yeah, definitely. And then, of course, our friend Miguel de Casa almost filled the entire keynote room with a breakout session. So he's such a showman, and of course, he's got such a great story here with people that wanna you know, build in C#, but also need to target some of the other devices that they maybe have within their organization and their customer base. So
especially there's sort of the empowerment of like, hey, you're a C# developer. Well, guess what? You're now a mobile developer.
Yeah, exactly.
So love Miguel.
Very, very cool. And finally, we end on a somber note today. For folks that maybe know Dave Bost. Dave Bost was a great evangelist for Microsoft for many years. You know, Dan and I were both friends of Dave, and unfortunately, he suddenly passed away just a few days ago. And I think I speak for the entire development community when I say that this is just a terrible, terrible loss. Dave, you're going to leave a big hole in our hearts, and it's just really sad. He was 43 years old, and he was healthy just a month ago, and then he tweeted one day that he had a headache, and he was headed to the emergency room to figure out, you know, what was going on, and unfortunately, he just never recovered. He leaves behind two beautiful daughters and wife, and just really going to be missed. So
yeah, our thoughts are with the family. It's just really, really sad to see. And Dave was one of those guys that always had a smile.
He did. You always knew he was in the room. The world was a better place for him. And yeah, he's definitely going to be missed. So go home and hug your loved ones tonight. And, you know, it's just one of those things.
Thanks. Thank you.